circumstance. The same almighty power that brought us out of nothing into existence is the almighty power that must sustain us in existence. Every time a child is conceived, question I have to ask to the sister, to the father and mother, provide the body and the soul for the child that they conceive? In other words, you're all composed of, shall I say, two parts. A and B. A is the body, pardon me, and B is the soul. When we're conceived, there's a body and a soul there. How much of that newly conceived child do the parents, as parents, provide? Is it both the body and the soul? Or does God have to enter every conception? What do you think? So how much do the parents provide? Is it the body and the soul? Is it only the body or only the soul? What do the parents provide? The? Just the body. Is that what you said? My hearing is not so good. I have a hearing aid when necessary, but I can speak better without it. Just I can. I think I'm shouting when I'm just whispering into with my hearing aid on. The parents provide only the body. Every time a child is conceived, who provides the soul? Who provides the soul? How does God provide the soul? By doing what? By creating it. Out of what? Out of nothing. Creation is going on. Every time a child is conceived, God is creating a soul. Back to our statements. Everything else, except we ourselves, that in any way enters our lives. And the number and variety of these creatures is beyond counting. I had no idea whom I would meet when I came here to give this retreat on this warm January evening in Vancouver. And most of you had no idea what character would be giving the retreat. But God from all eternity, hear it, plans every single person, place, and thing that enters our lives. In the divine vocabulary, there is no such thing as chance. In the divine vocabulary, there is no such thing as chance. Everything, and the word is everything, every who, every which, every when, everywhere, every what, and the word everything is part of the providence of God. And we are told all of these, every who, every which, every what, everything, planned from all eternity. Is today January the 7th? Is it? 1991? Is it? God planned from all eternity the weather. Everything. He knew exactly who would be here on the evening of January the 7th. Made sure that you'd be sitting where you are. And that of all the strange creatures that God might have provided, it should be this character speaking to you. And I've told more than one audience, there's at least one reason that God always has whenever I speak to an audience. It gives the people the opportunity of practicing patience and having to listen to this character. What are we saying? We are saying that everything in our lives is meant to be a means enabling us to reach our heavenly destiny. Everything in our lives, hear it, everything, comma, everything, pardon me, comma, everything, is meant by God to be a channel of grace. Everything. If you speak, I'll have to put my hearing aid on. Unless you can, you shout.
What about when your own will cuts in? Is that, can you hear me?
Not too well. Could you repeat what she said?
What about when your own will
Judith?
It says, what if your own will cuts in? What when your own will cuts in? I don't know.
What when your own will?
When your own will cuts in, into what you're saying about
your own will.
Everything being a means of grace.
Yes.
And your own will.
Well, see, this will be, we've got four conclusions that come from this. Now, if I understand you to be saying, what if your own will, did you say, cuts into or
interferes?
Please?
Or rather interferes?
Interferes. Well, see if I understand you correctly. We said that everything in our lives, everything, everyone, every who and which, is meant to be a channel of grace. Now, are you asking? I'm not quite sure of the meaning behind your question. Are you asking, what if your own will does not agree with or want? Is that what you're asking? See, everything is a channel, meant to be a channel of grace. Everything. Now, of course, though everything is meant to be a channel of grace, but you ever heard this? Are all graces pleasant? Are all graces sweet? What do you think? Father, are you saying that God can send us graces that will, whether we don't appreciate? Well then, all we have to know, that's all. All we have to know is, what is God's will? It makes no difference. Zero. No difference whatever. Whether I like it or not. How's that? Of course, our own wills can resist, run away from, reject the grace of God. In fact, that's the main reason we have a free will. If we change that, the only real reason we've got a free will is to conform our wills to the will of God. Close the book. What have we got a mind for? The most fundamental reason we have a mind is to know what is God's will for me. Everything else is secondary. Secondary. Useless. What have I got a will for? Once my mind tells me what is God's will, well, I can form my will to God's. Now I think I have time to identify. And this I think will... Gee, thanks for being one step ahead of me. You might be my Jesuit students. They're always... Look, you're having a class tomorrow or... Wait. While all these creatures that God puts into our lives, and maybe this creature may be a drunken voice over the telephone at 2 o'clock in the morning. Is that drunken voice getting me out of bed at 2 in the morning? Is there meant to be a channel of grace? Yes. Well, there are 4 classes. This will help, I think. 4 types of creatures. It's a good general term that God constantly provides us with as channels of His grace. The first class we enjoy. Most of us enjoy nice, bright, sunny, warm weather. So we sing at the top of our lungs, "How great Thou art, O Lord, how great Thou art." Does God want us to enjoy certain creatures? Question. Does He want us to enjoy everything that He puts into our lives? No! When I give retreats to men, as I do, last May before Mother's Day, 72 men, most of them married. I tell them, you may have thought before you married, that once you married, every woman in the world, you couldn't stand the sight of, you couldn't even look at her. What a rude awakening. To repeat the question, Are all creatures to be enjoyed? No. Somebody else may have a right, but not me. So that's the first. Some are to be enjoyed, but you better find out. Before this retreat is over, you better find out. Make an inventory. There are going to be four categories. If I go a minute or two over time, is that all right, Father? He said it's okay. First category, the enjoyable creatures in my life. Some will have a longer list, some will have a shorter list. And some people may be surprised if they didn't find themselves in that first column. Second category, the creatures that God puts into our lives. This is God with infinite wisdom from all eternity that He wants us to endure. Say that again. There are certain creatures that God puts into our lives, and I hope you agree with me. And not a few of those creatures have people's names. Now don't you dare show that list to anybody except the Lord. This is the endurance column. And again, God deals differently with different people, right? Does God, the all-wise, all-loving God, does He put pain and suffering into our lives? Does He? If you don't teach that to the young people that you're teaching, you're not teaching them the Catholic faith. All right? And this is, I trust you agree with me, this is a real test of our faith. For example, a young man in Washington, D.C. This is what day of the week this is? Monday. Last Thursday, he was coming home from the restaurant of which he is manager in the evening, and going at full speed, all of a sudden, feet in front of him was a woman lying across the roadway. He couldn't possibly stop. She died a few hours later. I spoke to him just before I left New Mexico. Crushed. Why? Why? She was totally intoxicated. A young woman had a fallout with her fiancé the night before, and whether she intended to commit suicide or just to drown her sorrows, but she was stretched across the highway and killed. Second type of creature, therefore, those that God wants us to endure. And notice, to endure is not the same thing as to suffer. Every rational human being suffers, but not every rational human being endures the suffering. To endure is to be willing to suffer. We go on. You're talking about these other creatures that God puts into our lives. There are creatures that God puts into our lives. Hear it. Not that we might enjoy the creature. Not that we might endure the creature. But, hear it, that we might remove that creature from our lives. Say that again. By the way, can I be heard in the back of the room? God puts creatures into our lives and He watches. He wants us to get rid of it. Come. What kind of a God, mind me object, is that? Well, that, by the way, is another name for temptation. And just for the record, all temptations are attractive. If they weren't, they wouldn't be temptations. Something which is naturally attractive. That either we already have in our lives or in our minds we would like to have in our lives. And God wants us to remove it. And the removal need not be merely, say, removing physically. The hardest removal is inside the mind. But notice, our minds must be enlightened. We must know what God's will is for me. No single one of you need answer, but if you wish, you may. Are all of our thoughts good thoughts? You mean we sometimes have a bad thought? Would you agree, sister? We sometimes... It has been known. That was a perfectly delightful thought. But what does God want us to do? To remove it. What are we to remove? Whatever is an occasion to sin. Ask the third category. What are we to remove from our lives? Whatever we know from experience leads us into sin. Notice, we're not precisely talking about sin. These are creatures which in themselves are not sinful. But they can be the occasion to sin. Can be the road to sin. Can be the temptation. Well, to something which is attractive. Yet God wants us to remove. However, there's one more category. The third category is the creatures in my life that I know from experience either have led me into sin or would lead me into sin. And I'm bound. I'm obliged. If I want to do God's will, I must find out what in my life leads me into sin. I got no choice. Not a matter of reading more books. What do I know from my own past experience? For example, what sins do I confess? Of what failings do other people complain about me? That's the third category. Find out during this retreat what in your life God wants you to remove. Otherwise, if you do not remove that, you'll be committing sin. Finally, and shall I say most subtly, are there creatures in our lives which it would not be a sin for us to retain, but where God would be more pleased, and the key word is more pleased, if we either give up what we naturally like, not because it would be a sin if we didn't do it, or because out of love for God we endure why we would not be obliged to endure under pain of sin. I enter the society of Jesus. So I did. I never had any brothers or sisters of my own till I became a Jesuit. My first brethren. Well, I look forward to the thrilling experience of living with men whom I call my brothers in Christ. Well, that's been some years ago. I did not have to become a member of the Society of Jesus. Never in my wildest dreams did I anticipate what mortification it would be living with my fellow Jesuits. And my consolation is, how many of you have heard the name of St. John Berkmans? 1, 2, 3, 4. Say, thanks. I am pleased. Have you ever heard of St. John Berkmans? Yes. He was a young Jesuit scholastic, about 24 years old. On his deathbed, he was asked, what was your greatest mortification? What caused you the greatest suffering in your life? On his deathbed, he said, living in a Jesuit community.